News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
If you are the parent of a fur baby, there is a chance that you may be able to bring said fur baby with you on flights in the future. That's if a petition that's being generated in the UK currently is successful, trying to move the UK and Europe more towards the American model where you can bring your pet on the plane. Kevin Byrne is with us, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor. Kevin, why is it that there is this divide that in the States, it's fairly common to have people travelling with pets? In Europe, very unusual.
Good morning, Anton. I don't actually know why. I presume it's because in some ways people have got the train around Europe. Europe is very well connected with high-speed trains as such. And in America, it's such a vast country, as you know. They've got a huge population moving by air. And pet travel in the US is very common. You know, Delta Airlines, United Airlines and other similar airlines have got permission to carry dogs, cats and household birds on domestic flights, and they collect a one-way fee, provided they have, of course, age, health and certain requirements and carriers and so forth. So it's much more common there than it is here because people move it. There hasn't been a demand, I don't think. One European low-cost carrier based in Ireland doesn't take pets at all. They take guide dogs, which are certified as such, you know, for assistance and guidance and that kind of thing. But they have a total ban on pets, and they have huge aircraft numbers based in the UK. So the problem is actually getting into the UK. You're not allowed to bring pets on aircraft into it. I didn't know that until the last couple of days. You can do it more or less around Europe, and there are some good European airlines listed on the list I have here, including Iberia and Air France and Vueling and Lufthansa and KLM. They have policies on carrying pets. Usually the dog should be 10 kilos or less. If it's a bit bigger than that, it won't fit under the seat in front of you, which I thought was a bit strange, you know, and they have to go in the carrier hold downstairs. In other words, you know, with the freight and with the baggage and that kind of thing. That's much more common than having dogs on board the cabin with the passengers. And that's still the case now.
And of course, there's then significant import challenges into Ireland, particularly if you're coming from outside the EU.
Yes.
Because I remember talking to somebody who ran a kennel, and they said, if you want to take a dog to the States, it costs you about 150 quid to bring it to America. You want to bring it home with you? It costs you nigh on €2,000 to go through the process.
Indeed, and you have to have the vaccination records, health certificates, quarantine rules apply in certain countries, and you have to have breed restrictions as well. So it gets a bit more complex bringing people, you know, bringing dogs back into Europe than it does in the States, for example. I don't know if it's that common. You know, I was more interested in getting people in freight around the place and doing, you know, audits in that regard. I saw very few dogs that weren't actually certificates, certified, I should say, guide dogs or assistant dogs and that kind of thing. Is there a demand for it? I don't know. I know the UK, they're very keen pet lovers and they do move in and out, you know, and they want to go on holidays. But I suppose the vast majority of people, most of us who have pets, don't bring the pets on holidays. They leave them in the kennels or that kind of thing. So the demand is very limited at the moment, I think.
Oh, I don't know, Kevin. We're getting a lot of texts. Texts say yes, yes, yes to dogs on planes. It's Ireland and the UK that have problems.
And yet, if you went on the ferries, as I sometimes do, the boats, you know, the dogs, from what I remember, are left downstairs in their owners' vehicles. You know what I mean? They don't go wandering around the decks of ships and that kind of thing. So I don't know if it's going to happen. There's a medical problem, too. There are a number of people who have, you know, who've got a problem, who might react to having dogs on board. You know, they've got certain kinds of illnesses or whatever it might be. And they've got a problem with that. Now, I know the systems on board aircraft are very healthy in that the air is circulated. They've got HEPA filters and that kind of thing. But there could be reactions to various people if there's, you know, a cat or a dog on board the aircraft. So that is an allergy problem that hasn't been solved yet. I'm not sure if that's going to be a game changer or not. But short haul, yes. What about long haul flights, though? 9 or 10 or 11 hours. To have a dog cooped up like that under the seat in front of you might not be very fair. And the other thing is, too, dogs react to noises and that kind of thing. I'm not sure if the dog was on its first flight wouldn't react to the noise of the takeoff and the movement and that kind of thing. I just don't know.
Now, what about people exploiting the loopholes, Kevin? Because I have heard anecdotally, and by anecdotally, people I've met who've told me that they've done it.
Yes.
Where they have had a doctor sign off that they need an emotional support animal, and thankfully their dog happens to fit that category and they've been able to bypass all of this.
It doesn't wash, apparently. You need
I've seen it wash, Kevin. I've seen the animal walking around coming out of the airport.
I've heard of a case too where somebody put it in the overhead locker and pretended it was a hat but made of fur, you know. But in reality, to get past the customs, you need a certification of a veterinary source, not just a medical source like that. So certified guide dogs, yes, and assistance dogs, which are, we see them, but they're well marked and well trained, and there won't be a problem, you know. But it's not that common. So I don't know how this is going to go. International Air Transport Association, they're the sort of organization looking after the airline, say yes, if the airline sees it's okay, it does go ahead. And it is very common, as we said, in different parts of Europe, and it's very common indeed in America because it's such a big country and people fly, you know, regularly to and fro. But I'm not sure if the UK regulations will be changed. It hasn't come up in Parliament, but it is very much the 12,000 signatures on the you know, the various papers going into Parliament want the law changed, and it hasn't been top of the pile, so to speak, because they've got other difficulties over there just at the moment. But it could take place, not this summer, I don't think. Maybe in the summer of 27, it may come to pass.
And presumably, Kevin, there is a long established precedent of animals generally travelling on cargo flights. I think wasn't Ireland pioneering in putting racing horses on flights?
Absolutely. Yes, indeed we were. And indeed we still are. And I looked at many of these things being loaded into various freighter aircraft like that. Normally you've got grooms people on board. The animals might be going from Dublin to Australia for a race, or to America, to Kentucky, or some such thing. But they're very well cared for, of course. And of course they're valuable. They're not pets. You know, it's a commercial organisation. But yes, the Irish decided to put in various different mechanisms. And other countries came in, looked and said this will work very well for us, and now it's very common to have thoroughbred horses move from one part of the world to the other. It's considered much safer, and it's considered, of course, you know, it's not an insurance problem. Flying is very quick for the animal from that point of view, but that's a different horses for courses, as it were, than taking your pet out to the airport and chopping on a Ryanair. That won't happen this week or next, I'm afraid, Anton.
Kevin, thanks very much. Kevin Byrne there, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.